welcome to the Cool Summer Podcast. My name is James.
And this is Marco Sparks.
We're back. We're talking about Season 2, Episode 9 of Cruel Summer, entitled The Miseducation of Luke Chambers. If you can't tell from our voices, the show's defeated us.
I threw my back out the other day.
Fun.
That was better than all this.
Sounds like it. This episode's written by L. Treidman. You tried, man. And directed by Laura Nisbet Peters. We do have one piece of follow-up. We got a review in the podcast app from Just Another Sarah, who's enjoying the show. Glad to hear it. She mentions that That's What She Said started being popular with Wayne's World. So that would have been 90s.
Where? In the Wayne's World?
I don't know. I don't know if it's in a movie or the TV show, but, you know, the skits.
Oh, yes, no.
Yeah. She'd love to hear our thoughts on reviewing Severance. Apparently we only do really bad shows on our podcast, so
Severance is great.
Yeah, except for the Patricia Arquette stuff, which is why is it there?
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, there you go. There's our review. The last episode of Severance is incredible.
Completely called the twist with the wife. Just absolutely nailed it.
But, no, yeah. Like, you were like, how the least interesting, the least interesting character is the wife. Cool. So other follow up, Mike reached out to us on Twitter. I'm not going to say the other thing. Pointed out that the kid who plays Luke also played Paul Adelstein's adopted son in Private Practice.
And they got a whole working relationship there.
They must hate each other. It's funny to think that each season of the show could have like have one actor brought over from Shondaland. Like, if there's a season 3, you get a McSteamy in there. Kevin says, we're not far off, in quotes, on some of our prediction. And Leslie is dying to hear our thoughts on episode 9. Well, Leslie.
I feel like the way in which we're off is that we're trying to think of at least somewhat interesting solutions to the mysteries, and the show isn't. Show writers are like, no, what are you doing? You thought we were going to do that?
Well, I mean, we're at a point now where it's like, at the end of this episode, there's a question about who's there on the other end of the door, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can throw out 3 guesses. I don't know if either of them are good or erudite or obvious. And with the show,
none of them are particularly interesting, like, no matter who it is, right? Like, there's nothing, there's no character. It's like, oh shit, didn't see that coming.
It's either, spoiler, it's either Steve, Brent, or Isabella. Like,
so. No, there's one other, but I will wait to reveal that when we get there so I can blow your fucking mind. All right, the events that are about to unfold take place. Oh, hey.
I've been out here for hours, too.
During the fall of 1999 and on January 1st, 2000. Sorry, continue.
I got to make a boom boom.
I just go in the lake. That way I don't have to wipe.
Perfect shit.
All right, so the fall of 99, so I don't know. The fact that like this is like their big episode 9, and it's about fucking Luke Chambers, like maybe the least interesting character on television in 2023, just an absolute black hole of charisma and like intrigue. It's just so bland and boring.
He's played with
negative charisma.
He's not the thing by which this pivots.
No, he's just like, no.
I mean,
there's nothing there.
Really wants him to be, but like, it's fallen short.
There's nothing there. He's like Oakland.
I just watched this episode 2, so it's like,
no fun. I watched this last night and I was just like, at a certain point last night, I paused it and there was like 12 minutes left and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, nothing of import has happened in this entire episode. Like, there's like no significant like reveals really at all. It's like completely boring nonsense.
There's one title card that is absolutely bananas for its placement.
So as an example of the way nothing happens in this episode, we start off with this flashback, September 1990. Oh, it's the young Chambers boys. This is a home video, which is a shockingly good home video. I don't know what camera they're using here, because they mentioned later on that they bought Brent a camera like the previous year, like 98. But home video of the wife whose name I don't care to look up.
Jane.
Jane, sure. Yeah. Shitty father, Brent and Luke. And Megan. There is Megan there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that who the girl is?
I guess. Yeah. I can be very honest, brunette. I didn't even notice.
Very brunette Megan. Yeah.
They're playing at the cabin. They're shooting Nerf guns at each other. It's everything's happy. But like, what do we learn from this? That like, oh, they used to have a happy family. Okay. What else? Like, was that the whole point of this?
No.
Like, I don't understand. Like, what information does this reveal to us? It eventually pulls out and we see that Luke is like watching this very badly composited on his like TV on the wall. And just has this blank look of like, I don't know, minor sadness. Like, what am I supposed to be getting from this performance? He's just like, ma.
Also, this is the living room. It's completely reversed from the previous times we've seen it.
I know. It's literally reversed.
Yeah, this is September 99. This is, first of all, in addition to everything you're saying, this is the cold open.
I know.
There's nothing here. There's not even like Jessica De Laurentiis brings over like Jason and this other seemingly blonde boy.
There's nothing in it where we're like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. We're just like, great. You used to be a happy family. We kind of intuited that, you know, from like the speech that dad gives in the pilot or the, you know, season two premiere or whatever.
You've beat us over the fucking head with like every single episode. Well, like where
the angelic mom. Oh, too bad she's dead. You know.
The whole episode, like they get to it a little bit, but it's like there should have been something where like Luke was crying in the back seat and the mom turned around and that's why the car crashed and the dad's hated him ever since or something. Like there are times when the dad genuinely seems concerned for his son's overall future. He's just a dick about it.
And other times where he seems like a complete piece of shit. Yeah. Like yeah. It's, I don't know if the show is doing a bad job of
yes,
character work. Yes, it is. Or if they're trying to like kind of like keep all their cards on the table so that they can like shock us at the end, you know, like maybe the big reveal left is that it was Steve did it or maybe he didn't. You know, it's like you're just not doing enough. Like everything is still too vague and all over the place. Like Isabella, not a real character. I'm sorry. Like, the shit she does in this episode is just like, you're not a real person. You're just like a creation of writers.
So I guess my question is are we supposed to like perceive some of this episode as a complete bizarre perspective of Luke's and like, this is how he's always viewed Isabella. Like, but he's not gaslighting Megan when he says that Isabella's horrible. Like,
but who cares? How does that influence the rest of the show?
Exactly. But I can't tell if this is like one of those like Rashomon X-Files episodes or not.
It gives no context that we didn't already essentially have.
Yeah. Well, the problem with the Steve and Brent stuff too is if they're suspects, it's not like we've gotten a contrary thing to where they were on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, and they're both boring suspects. Is it your shitty brother?
It's the sheriff, or is it your shitty dad?
No. Although actually that's a good one too.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's got to make some money disappear.
Okay, can we be real? The best scene of this episode is when Luke talks to the sheriff.
I mean, it's the best scene in every episode is when the sheriff's on screen.
Like, I was like, I want this guy to be my fucking dad. He's awesome. Also, I really feel like they're in the writer's room, they're breaking this thing down, and they're like, you know what we should do, guys, is we should blow off the afternoon and watch Cruel Intentions, because they are ripping off the soundtrack left and right. I mean, we got the verve here.
You know, there's a certain type of performance is required to communicate, I don't know, ennui. Mm-hmm. And it isn't here. I'm sorry. It is not here.
Oh, you mean when we start with Luke in the pool, like it's a fucking Bret Easton Ellis novel or something?
Him watching the home video and then turning it off. And then it just kind of stares. It's like, are you sad, I guess? We go to credits. And afterwards, yeah, he's floating in the pool with sunglasses on. Looking all of like 102 pounds. Are we supposed to care about this person? Like, the show in this episode seems to be going for like a, oh, bet you didn't know how emotionally tumultuous his inner life was. And it's like, no, I don't care, and it doesn't really seem like it's that bad.
It's a tough one, though, considering what we've seen of him in the last episode, to really turn that around. But like, that's, there's some characters I don't want to see redeemed. But yeah, here he is on this floaty. Like, he's like early 1980s Robert Downey Jr.
Playing Bittersweet Symphony on the soundtrack.
Yeah. And then Brent flips him over and just basically starts to drown him.
Mm-hmm. Just laughing the whole time. Which, like, I don't know. Like, you know, I spent a lot of time in the water. My parents were big on taking us to rivers and lakes and pools and whatnot. You do your horsing around, but like, the just the I'm trying to drown you move, generally not a thing that people do for fun, you know?
No, well, here's what you
like,
don't
like, you dunk each other, but you don't like hold each other down so they can't, yeah.
I'm gonna beat an 8-year old horse over the head of it. I'm just saying, like, say you meet a girl and she tries to drown you, you don't date her afterwards.
Yeah, that's a long time ago and she's a different person.
And then, like, several years pass, and you're like, out of the school, put a whole love triangle on the payroll. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this move is kind of fucked. Which, by the way, you should stick to the lakes and the rivers that you're used to. But, like, yeah, the dad is just like, yeah, that's enough. And then Brent proceeds to drown for, like, another full 3 seconds.
Let him up now.
Well, the dad is just like, yeah, you're okay. That's my move. You're okay. You're fine.
Don't get dramatic, Luke. I'm going to go, I don't know, grill some meat or something. There's the shot, like, they've had what appears to be like a wedding cake or something.
Yeah, this scene is not real.
They're celebrating their mom, what would be her like 44th birthday. She's dead, obviously, because this is fall 99. And they appear to have like a mini wedding cake. Like, I don't understand this cake at all.
This is just a cake you get at the supermarket. And
it is. It's definitely a cake you go get from like Safeway, but I don't.
Write something on it. I don't
get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to wonder too, is the mom actually 43 and the dad is just like, I'm never going to tell my son he's correct, so yeah, I'm just going to say she's 44. The scene is
general.
Like, this is just the invention of writers. This is not a real family one iota.
No, I fortunately for myself, I can't claim to know how one treats the you know, the anniversary of, or the birthday of you know, somebody who's passed away. But do you get a cake? Just like, let's go get a sheet cake from the store.
Well, also, this line from Brent, it's crazy that she's been gone 8 years.
Everybody got that?
It's like, that's
almost as bad. You probably haven't watched it, but in the completely mediocre Ahsoka show, there's a line where they're like having a memorial celebration or whatever. And it starts out with the guy saying, several years ago. And it's like, several? You don't even want to put a fucking date to it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't it all kind of have to be specific in time?
In theory, that should all be pretty nailed down in the canon. Yeah, so I don't know why they're saying several years, but whatever.
But yeah, this just has a lot of... Like, you remember that time we went to that like park down in Florida?
Yeah, that place was rad. Remember they had that 2-mile-long lazy river? It was insane till it closed.
Yeah, she was not happy about that.
She was not happy about that. What scintillating, like, we're learning so much about this character. It's like, oh man, we're gonna find out what was really going on with Luke in this episode. And it turns out basically more of what we've seen already, with like almost no reveals at all. There's a huge fountain. Your mom jumped in fully dressed. He mentions at one point that like, she was kind of like Luke, the dad says. He had the same sense of humor, and it's like, okay.
When
has he ever shown a sense of humor on this show, really?
When he, like, did that zany move where he filmed his girlfriend having sex. I think it's fascinating. Like, this is the 9th episode of the show, and like, Christopher Nolan can get there with all the dead wives in his canon so much faster. They're real people sometimes. We've heard so much about this mom, and she just sounds fake.
Yeah, well, so after the comment about you have your mom's sense of humor, Brent says, oh yeah, you are more in touch with your feminine side. You should be getting your period soon. It's like, yeah, we got it. He's kind of a dick. He is a huge dick. He's like, you know, super misogynist and pretty horrible. But like, we already know this. You're not showing us anything we didn't already know, show. Like, there's no new information being communicated here.
Yeah.
And the dad's like, who's ready for tennis? And he like forces Luke to come play.
There's some real fucked up just masculinity stirring in a pot in this family. Yeah. Mandatory family games. Let's go. There's three of them.
Yeah. And Brent says, come on, dude, you got to end that losing streak at some point. And Luke's just like, oh, my life is so hard to just be a misunderstood rich boy with a shitty older brother and dad.
Rich and just wants to join the fucking Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the breeze would blow him off the boat.
I know. All right, so it's sometime in the fall with, I guess we're kind of catching up to where we were in the timeline.
Presumably we're still in September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the first day of school. And they're on a dock to celebrate Isabella's first day of school at their high school.
Luke, Isabella, and Megan.
Yeah.
Her name for a second.
And they can't even do Cosmopolitan. They have a magazine called Cosmotive.
Cosmotive. What's up in Cosmotive? What kind of crazy tricks with ice are they talking about in there?
Which is such a weird title that I almost love it. Cosmotive.
There's like a bit where they're doing like a quiz, relationship quiz, and it's like, oh, what's something your partner's idea of a fun night? And he's like, oh, that's easy, playing video games. And then it turns out, like, she kind of laughs, and it's like, oh, like, I thought you loved playing Super Smash Brothers with me. And she's like, yeah, maybe for an hour or two, not all night. And it's just like, oh, I didn't realize. You never said you didn't like doing that.
Literally a plot point from Mallrats.
Yeah. And just thing we could have actually witnessed, you know, like how their relationship's going. At one point in this episode, they're just going to be in bed together. And you're like, so we just yada yada over the big first time. Okay.
No, we covered the bisque.
Yeah.
Show us that Megan's actual idea of a good time is like, you know, trying to hack into NORAD or whatever.
And then Isabelle says, Luke Chambers is competitive. Who knew? And they giggle like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, there's just a lot of just this real perspective of Isabella from like Luke's POV where she's like constantly like sniping at him either to Megan or behind his or to his face. It's real gross.
Well, like I don't think this is meant to be some sort of like subjective like.
But doesn't like it almost feel like it is?
I don't think it is. I think this is supposed to be like.
She's just horrible.
Like she's just like a terrible person, which like is in the text so far. Isabella, mm-hmm. She's not a real person because she exists to like kind of, you know, do things for the plot. But I don't think this is like, oh, like Luke is seeing this way, but somebody else might not. I think it's just like stuff Megan didn't notice or something. But like to what end exactly?
Yeah.
Like why do we care? Like you already had her shoot him in the last episode. Like obviously she's unhinged. Like what are we learning now?
But my question is it supposed to say that what felt like gaslighting in the last two episodes was actually him rightfully pointing out that Isabella was a horrible person to Megan?
But I don't think I didn't believe him when he said that, but it's like that doesn't excuse you, basically. It's like, yeah, you guys are both horrible. Congratulations. I don't know, like, you know, neither side's winning any brownie points here.
Yeah. So it turns out that Luke and Megan both think that they're the realist in the relationship, and then the shitty friends show up. These people just, do they have like a tracker on them?
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of Jeff's, like, pointless, like, camcorder footage.
Yeah, how to treat your man or whatever. It's a quiz they're doing. And he says, don't worry, I'll pass the best ones along or something like that. We're going to head, and then I think this is the Eric character says, we were going to head over to my house, shoot some hoops. And like the delivery is so bad. I mean, I don't know how you make that line work, but.
Eric has the house where they were going to have the New Year's Eve party mm-hmm. before it went to the cannery. Yeah, so. Tim leaves with a parting shot of hoes before bros because Luke is not going to join the boys. He's going to hang out with the girls. And yeah, Megan's like, you can go. And Isabella's like, yeah, we can hoe it up by ourselves.
I'd rather kick it with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'd like jump cut back to that gunshot and like, oh, he's like screaming. the hell's wrong with me? You crazy bitch could have killed me. So, you know, he's grazed the ear. He's bleeding on the pillow. Everyone's freaking out. I think Megan grabs a gun from Isabella, and Isabella is like, oh, I swear it wasn't supposed to go off. And it's like, no, he clearly pulled the trigger. You know?
Yeah. Like, should there be, I'm like looking at it again. Obviously we see his like bleeding ear. Should there be like a hole in the pillow?
I mean, I think they later say they like pull a bullet from the wall. So I guess it just passed through the pillow into the wall, you know?
Yeah. The pillow looks fine.
Yeah. But like, he's like, oh, you've wanted me out of the picture for months. You knew what you were doing. And like, is this supposed to be like new information to me, show? Because like, we kind of got the message already that Isabella sucks. Maybe not as much as Luke does, but like a fair amount.
I think the most egregious bit in this episode, jumping ahead just a slightly, is the Megan's reaction to his reaction,
yes,
to the pregnancy news.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're past all that.
Well, it's they needed to get her out of there, really. But yeah, we'll get to that. So anyway, Megan runs and gets some first aid stuff. And she's like, oh, it looks like it just nicked the surface. So she's like taking care of him, and she tells Isabella, oh, you're lucky. And it's definitely
bleeding.
The dynamic has shifted where it's like, well, she was mad at Luke, but like, she doesn't literally want to kill him. You know, she's going to take care of him here.
Well, it's interesting because it's like, you just nicked the ear, but it's a bleeder. So if we leave him here long enough, he'll have a serious like loss of blood.
Yeah. And he's like, I can do it myself. Just untie me, because they're like disinfecting it. He's like, you made your point. And Isabel's like, oh, somebody could have heard the gun. We have to leave now. And Megan's like, what? Just leave him here? What if it gets worse? And she's like, he'll be fine. Okay. You said it yourself. It's just a surface wound. Let's let him stay here tonight and think of what he's done. He's like, I've had plenty of time to think, blah, 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 blah. I think at this point, Isabel like goes and gets the videotape out of the camcorder. And it's like, we have this. And if you talk, like, we'll leak it. And then she's pretty much out of here. She like grabs some pills and pieces out. And Megan stays.
Which is weird. The beauty of this is like, this is the shortest episode of the season. It feels longer.
It felt so fucking long.
It's like not even 40 minutes long.
Yeah. So Luke's like, oh, she's nuts. She almost killed me. And Megan's like, I know. It's insane. This wasn't how the night was supposed to go.
Crazy, right?
Something I need to tell you, by the way. I don't know. It might not be the best time to bring it up, but I'm pregnant. What? And cut to earlier October. That whole scene is just, I don't know. It's like, we have to get these characters out of here because they're not supposed to be present when, you know, Luke meets this untimely end, I guess. But I don't know. Nobody's behaving like a real person, really. Megan is the closest, but that's about it. Like, why would she bring up the pregnancy thing then, of all times?
Yeah. Well, and Isabella's not supposed to know other than through her underhanded methods of having gone through Megan's trash.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're at the business center of the hotel that the Chambers family leaves in as Luke and Megan are back there.
It gets more egregious every time they show like a new angle of this place. It's like, this is not a house.
No. Well, also they're walking past one of the entrances to this hotel,
mm-hmm,
to like go around to the side entrance, which is like also the main entrance of the house with a big walk, like a mm-hmm covered walkway. Anyway, yada, yada, yada. Brent's doing fraternity shit at his school. And so it's just like Luke and his dad in like hostage chambers. They have nothing to talk about. They've watched a nature documentary about hedgehogs to like not talk to each other.
And it's like, oh, like him and Brent, they can talk about sports or business stuff. I really want to know what kind of business stuff he's talking to Brent about. But yeah, but us, it's just crickets, you know. It's a relief when he has a business dinner or he's out with your mom.
Yeah, what are those dates of Debbie like?
It's just
obviously
like,
because of the timeline, we're not going to hear anything about Debbie's illness.
He says, it's just like, ever since my mom died, like, there's this rift between us. Great.
Okay.
Yeah, Debbie's illness. It's been 9 episodes. I'm sorry. Like, was it the fucking cold or something? Like,
I'm looking at 10:22 now. They are walking alongside the building, which has been on their left this entire time. Mm-hmm. There is now another structure behind them.
Yeah, what is that other structure? I don't know.
What the fuck is happening here?
What kind of house has three different like glass doors to open up to the inside, like right next to each other.
Yeah, three different like when you would be like your sliding glass back door or whatever, but they have three of them. It's not really the one that they're taking. Also, we get the kind of reflective shot. And we get that shot from inside, like moving along.
Whatever well, and he's this like, is. Anyway, my class is going to the Science Center this week. And Megan's like, oh my God, their planetarium is epic. Can I be your plus one? Can you be That's a plus one to class trip?
Not how it works.
But it's like, I don't know, all this dialogue about like how this place is so awesome and it has a laser show. And he's like, oh, you're adorable. And he's like, you know, I was filling out for my permission slip when I got to my emergency contact. I realized it was my dad, but really, you're mine in case of emergency. And it's like, oh, that's so sweet. What is the point of this? Like, we're at least a month and a half into the relationship at this point, and it's like, things are going well, I guess. Like, what are we learning from this scene? Just that, like, once upon a time, they had a good relationship. We kind of already knew that, but thanks for telling us again.
I would argue that a lot of this undermines previous stuff. So earlier in the show, Megan had a real point of contention in December because Luke, she felt, didn't understand how hard her life was being poor, right? Then we had this whole thing where for what this episode is telling us, when he wants to join the Coast Guard, it doesn't seem like she's aware of it until a certain point.
He never tells her.
Until a certain point where we reveal that like she's always known or whatever. But he's literally talking about how I'll be cut off and I'll be poor. So then it seems weird to me to get to the thing where she's like, you don't know what it's like to be poor, when obviously he's been weighing a life, a road that would have him be poor like her and have to be his own man.
I mean, obviously they hadn't written this episode when they wrote that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, she believes in him or whatever, more so, like no one has since his mom.
Well, it's just like, what a great scene that totally was worth like 3 minutes of screen time. I don't know why it was there. Like, great.
Well, the creepiest part of it all is I feel like the easiest way to Megan's heart is just to somehow invoke this guy's dead mom.
Yeah.
Every time it comes up, she's like,
is there going to be some sort of twist where like the dad killed the mom? Like, what does a dead mom have to do with anything other than like, gee, our family was great till mom died? It's like,
or sucks. Was he just having an affair and that was the quote unquote business dinner? Like, but who cares?
Yeah, who cares at this point? It doesn't matter. All right, so he goes into his dad's office, Luke does, and the dad's got like this big like model of some new development. He's like, oh, come here, I gotta show you this. It's the new Northland development. There's a hotel and a casino and shops and restaurants. What casino? I'm sorry, are you in like New Jersey, like Atlantic City or Vegas?
What? I mean, I guess you could find a Native American tribe.
It could be a tribal casino, but then why is he involved? Like, just get to build those anywhere. Like, you know,
this model is not like this tower is not a casino tower. This is like apartments or condos. But it's not a hotel like architecture. It's like it looks like hotels or condos or apartments.
Yeah, true.
This is like something you'd see in like the San Diego area.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the Northland development.
Yeah, great. You're going to learn all about this in the fall at Branson. Cool. He's like, if I get in. And he's like, when you get in, don't do that. When you get in, they're going to teach you all the technical theories behind a lot of this. This is so boring. It's like watching paint dry.
I think you're going to be surprised about how much you already know about business.
Mm-hmm.
Business is such a mercurial, stupid thing. Like the way that like Michael Scott can both be an idiot and a genius at business is like proof of how dumb business is.
Yeah. So Luke reveals that, you know, I like being out on the water, partying with babes and whatnot. So I was thinking, you know, I want to join the Coast Guard instead of going to Branson. His dad's just like, absolutely not. Being outside is what weekends are for. Which is like almost funny. Just because it's so dumb. That's why they invented golf. He's like, I just don't think I'm going to be happy if I'm stuck behind a desk. He's like, happiness is overrated. You want to have a wife? You want to have a family? Do you want to provide for them? You want to give them all the advantages that you've had?
Where's like the Roger Linus thing where he's just like, I haven't been happy since you killed your mom in that car accident or whatever, you know?
Just like something to really twist the knife. Like, it's just so boring.
Also, is this guy, like, is he just taking pills where the side effect is, like, lack of charisma?
Yeah. You sound so naive right now. All these things you take for granted, Luke, you're not going to have that in the military life.
The car, the house, the boat, the vacations.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a hobby, not real life. So, sad sack Luke is like, okay. And then he's, like, kind of walking around in the sheriff's office later, and the sheriff's like, oh, this came for you. Like, you got your Coast Guard Academy application delivered here because, like, you can't have it delivered to your house or whatever. And he's like, you know, Coast Guard's something to be proud of, not to hide. He's like, yeah, but according to the Steve Chambers playbook, you know, it's not the case.
Also,
so this is your favorite scene here.
Is this not the most
scene
of life? Yeah. I mean, like he's playing it like he's like the only warm, positive father figure in this shithead's little life. It's like, I don't know. Like, I mean, the guy playing the sheriff should go be the dad on like a sitcom somewhere. Like, yeah. He'd be great at it.
Well, he's asking like, so what's your plan? And Luke's like, I'm going to tell him, like, you know, that I'm not going to the academy. And he's like, oh, so you're going to ambush him? And he's like, well, no, an ambush would be not telling him until the night before I go, which is also an option. And the sheriff's like, is that really how you want to play it? And Luke's just like, what am I supposed to do? And you know, I tried once. And the sheriff's like, well, try again if that's what you want. You know, like, can't be any worse than going behind his back.
All of this episode, I feel like, is setting up Steve to be the killer. But, like, by the end of it, that almost seems to be so uninteresting.
Well, the sheriff says sometimes that's the only way you can live your dream is to pull the ripcord. Like, why would the sheriff kill him, really? You know, like, there's been absolutely no reason. Like, it would be a twist, I guess, but it's like you really haven't established any.
No, there's no way the sheriff kills him. Yeah. I just don't think the sheriff.
So
I don't think the sheriff wastes his own time in the investigation.
Cut to Luke and Megan, you know, naked and in bed under the covers. I guess they fucked. And they're just having a tender moment here. She's like,
I think the thing is, we've been dealing with their sex life so much that the one decision that they made that may or may not have been smart is like, we really don't need to get into their first time.
I guess just seeing them kiss is like, okay, well, they're together now and everything's fine. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't care, but it's weird that they yada yada over that, I guess.
Yeah, so he doesn't want anything to change, even though they're going to go to different schools.
I mean, at least
schools.
For Megan or for her character and not for him, you know?
Oh, but I mean, the problem with the show is that you could argue that, like you said, everything prior to this has been somewhat subjective from Megan's point of view. But this episode says we don't give a shit.
So they're talking Megan about missed. What they're going to do next year because they're going to go to different schools, but they don't want anything to change. It's like, yeah, it definitely will. Just, you know, have fun while you can. He's worried all her friends are going to be super computer geniuses and talking their own language. And she laughs and says, it's called nerve. It's not going to be like that. I promise.
Yeah.
At this point, you're like, is he going to tell her about the Coast Guard Academy thing? But like, no, he just never does.
So what do we cut to here in like the closet? Is this a camera?
Oh,
is this the camera?
So yeah, after it's like, oh, you worry too much. Everything's going to be fine. Lovey dovey, you know? And then we cut to, I guess there's a shot of a VHS tape and a camera. Are we supposed to intuit that they're being filmed right now? Maybe. Hmm. It's a weird shot. Like, if you were trying to communicate that, there are better ways to do it. You know, like show the red light and
blah, blah, blah. Like show the actual lens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God, can you imagine if the tape, the servant who like could put in the tape and it started playing with the like, I hope nothing changes next year.
Mm-hmm.
The party. You know what? Here's how this episode should end. We should do like some kind of like sliding doors thing or whatever. Where we suddenly, in the height of like a cacophony of chaos, flash back to that moment in the pilot. I can't remember the exact line, where the sheriff pulls up in his first scene, and he's just like, "Megan, how's your summer going?" And she's like, "Oh, it's something." And he's just like, "Sounds like an interesting story." And then we just don't go down this path.
Okay, but I don't think this can be the tape because it doesn't come up until later that he like gets the idea to make a tape. All right.
True. True. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So back to the cabin now, where he scoffs at the idea of her being pregnant.
What are you joking? Like, she's like, I wish.
We were so careful. And it's like, you two don't seem like the most careful of kids.
She says, not every time, clearly. And it's like, okay. like, did a condom break? You know, I mean, I feel like you would know whether or not you were completely careful.
That's the giant condom that Isabella pulls out when she has sex with Luke.
He's like, what's that for? My arm?
Both arms in my head in there.
Yeah. He's like, and so he immediately is just kind of being like, oh, you know, we're in high school and we can't, you know, and you know, I'm just trying to be realistic. All right, man, I'll talk to my dad. He knows how to get this taken care of, I'm sure.
Get untied first.
Yeah.
This scene makes no sense when he's tied up still.
And at least, like, at least have the guile to be like, untie me so that I can hug you. Yeah. And then like, by the way, I actually want you to get an abortion. I'm fucking out of here. Zoink.
Laters. Taking your car. Yeah, like when she turns around and says, you're not the man I thought you were. It's like, we're past this point. You tied him up because he's not the man you thought he was.
Yeah, it's like she's going to just be very offended by, you know, him immediately like not wanting the kid or whatever, which like this would make sense if not for the fact that he's tied up and was shot and they drugged him and forced him to admit all the terrible things that he did and how he like filmed the sex tape. And you know, it's like it's a little too late for her to suddenly be like, oh, I'm so offended.
Like, are you gonna bring the camera back in here and film him telling you to get an abortion? Like, you just might as well add it to the litany. But yeah, she's just like, you're a liar and a jerk. It's like, this is, I don't know, I guess they went to the whiteboard in the writer's room and they like circled this idea, which is just like, what if episode 9 the good guy for the first time hears that he's actually not a good guy, and that's the height of drama.
Yeah, I'm just the idiot who loved you. And he's like, just untie me, please. And he's just like, no. There's nothing left to say. And honestly, after tonight, I never want to see you again. So she storms out. He's like, Megan, wait, come back. Nope, she's gone. He's still tied up. Okay.
Halfway through the episode.
Yeah. Nothing of significance has occurred at all.
Then the show steps on a rake.
Oh my God.
Because this title card clearly says November.
Mm-hmm.
And they start talking about their Halloween costumes here.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe
they had a Halloween party to go to that was a day late. I've never heard of that, but you know.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
We always celebrate. If it's in the middle of the week, we celebrate the weekend before.
Yeah. You never go after. It's just like a thing, you know.
Yeah. We don't go to like a November 3rd Halloween party. I mean, this almost absolves PLL of 3.5 seasons of November.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she comes down in her fucking Trinity outfit.
With her like latex duster, you know, and he's dressed as Neo. It's just like, I'm sorry, you got to be a little bit taller to dress as Neo.
Yeah, I mean, he's wearing like platform boots to like be mm-hmm. taller than her.
She mentions and then, the leathers, like wearing a ginormous condom.
And then Isabella walks in and she's supposed to be one of the agents, but she looks so tiny. And
I kept staring at that. I'm like, who is that supposed to be? Agent Smith?
She looks like,
why is her hair look like that?
She looks like one of the fucking Beatles on the Ed Sullivan show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't look like Agent Smith at all. And also, wouldn't you even attempt a Mr. Anderson, you know?
Just to let us know like who you're supposed to be, right? It's like, I don't remember Mr. Anderson having like a weird like mop top.
Here's a wine cooler, Mr.
Anderson.
For a second
I was like, is this some sort of Pulp Fiction thing? But like, no, she has the haircut of Uma, but like the suit, yeah, it's like it's mixed together. And she like loud enough for us all to hear, she's just like, this fake ID is a gift that keeps on giving. I got us some wine coolers or whatever. It's like, is this going to be important later?
Also, the fact that she's saying that while holding a wine cooler in each hand and she's a foot shorter than the both of them. Just mm-hmm. fucking silly.
Did she go like that? Like, was she dressed like that when she went and bought these like wine coolers here?
I mean, the logic here is like sub an episode of Community. Well, yeah, they enjoy some of their fucking wine coolers. He puts on his like Neo sunglasses, which reminds her. And we're about to get to the silliest fucking shot I've ever seen in this show.
Oh my God, yeah.
But she runs upstairs. This is where like him and Isabella talk, and like Isabella's just gonna fucking jab the knife in him.
Yeah, Isabella's just be like, hey, you know, there's a big world outside of Chatham, Lucifer. Like, why don't you let her, you know, like be her own person? He's like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know, she's following her dreams. So should you. You want to be the hero in your story. And he's like, can't I just be the charming accomplice? And she's like, that role's already taken. And there isn't room in her life for both of us. Just in case I was being unsubtle, you know, too subtle, I'm going to like say it directly. Like, you know, there's this town's not big enough for the both of us.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. So I guess even though she like did everything she could to put these two together, now she wants to break them up for some reason.
Well, that's why I'm like, is this supposed to be like this weird subjective thing from his point of view? It's not shot that way for sure.
It is. But I think we're just supposed to take this as read. It's we missed the scene where she decided that she didn't actually like being the third wheel.
Yeah. Well, it's like when Megan comes down back downstairs, I'd be like, if I was Luke, I'd be like, hey, Megan, turns out my ex-girlfriend here is a bitch.
So we get this awful shot of Megan in the sunglasses, and then we see like reflected in each lens, like on one side is Isabella and on the other side is Luke. It's so dumb.
Which, it's a shot out of the Matrix, but it looks horrible.
And it's like it wants to say, be saying like, ooh, this is the thesis of the show. These two people competing for her attention. But it's just like, no, this show is bad. Like you've done nothing to make this an interesting dynamic at all.
Yeah. So this next scene, I did not realize how much I hate this TV.
Well, it's not a real TV. That's like a black box on the wall that they're compositing. Like an image onto.
I have seen these kind of, you're right. I've seen these kind of panel things before. Like if you have a TV, but like
it's 1999, they didn't have TVs that big,
but like you're fucking ashamed that you have a TV. So you can put a part of your wall over it. So you could just see the image, but the living room's completely reversed. What the fuck is happening here? So anyway, so the boys are over, including Brent, who's holding court with his losers, the same high school losers that he always hangs out with when he's back in town, talking about filming girls having sex. It's like all this guy talks about.
College girls love to get their freak on. I mean, they're all about getting filmed. I don't know that that would be true, but sure.
I don't think even the dumbest, most impressionable high school boy would take that solely at face value. I don't know. I mean, unless Brent is also turning water into wine and you're like, well, he's never been wrong before. But he's like, some girls, they do perform better in stealth mode.
One of the guys is like, dude, you're my hero. Okay.
So like Jeff is like doing the math, like, so do you like hide the camera? Which and is sad. The on other dudes are like, levels.
That's awesome. Meanwhile, Luke's walked into the bathroom, into the background with some pizza. He's brought pizza and he's kind of like looking vaguely disgusted at them, you know. Yeah.
But like not enough because he'll join in the reindeer games. Yeah, like he's just like, if you got a gimmick, you don't need, or if you got whatever,
if you know what you're doing, you don't need a gimmick. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Brent's just like, whatever you say, Dong Wan, Dong Wan.
Like, oh, you totally got me.
Well, like it's the first time that he hasn't been like, whatever you say, taint breath or whatever, because he always likes to add breath to some part of the male body part. Your ego's so big, it's blocking your ears, Jeff says about Luke. And then Brent, I don't know, this might be insight. He mentions that Megan is smart and she got hot, so you're going to need to step it up or she's going to get bored of you, Luke.
True.
There might be something there, yeah. Yeah. But the problem is that they start talking about filming girls having sex and Luke's just like, maybe that's how I step it up.
Well, cause he's like, oh, that's not my problem. Last time I checked. And he says, well, you don't have the stones to make a tape. And they're like, yeah, Chambers, there's no way, not in a million years. And he's just like, oh, did I just get fucking double dog dare to make a sex tape? I guess I have to do it now. It's like, that's it. That was the impetus apparently for him to make the sex tape is like, they're like, oh, I'll bet you wouldn't do it.
Well, it's like if I said to you, I bet you don't have the stones to punch yourself in the nards. And you're like, oh, shit, now I got to punch myself in the nards.
Obviously, I've been challenged. Hold on.
That's good radio.
It's like, that's it. This is the big reveal. It's like, oh, in case you're wondering why you made the sex tape, this is why. Just like extremely minor peer pressure. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The most lackadaisical.
I've learned so much. It's just like my mind is blown. These reveals are coming left and right. Like everything is recontextualized for me. I'm going to have to watch the whole show again, you know, from the start just to understand it.
Yeah, it might be the Norco talking, but this show fucking sucks.
Norco, and you didn't give me any fucking A, man.
Because you've got a problem. It's not doing anything for me, so I might as well give it to you. Yeah, so then cut to Debbie's house, like, late at night. I don't know why Luke is over watching a horror movie in their living room when Meg and Isabella come back from that shitty...
It's because he came over earlier. He's supposed to meet her, but she wasn't there. So Debbie's like, I guess you can just sit on the couch, watch a movie. I'm going to go upstairs and stare at the wall.
I'm going to go lick the wallpaper and poop in the pillows because that's what I do for fun. Yay. Also, you should probably watch my impressionable other daughter. She has no real parent.
Remember her?
In here.
Yeah. So anyways, it's like Isabella and Megan come in from like a night at the club or whatever. And they're like, oh, shit, what are you doing here? Oh, shit, I totally forgot I was supposed to spend time with you, Megan says to Luke. Like, I forgot we had plans. And he's like, he's pretty annoyed. And she's like, oh, yeah, we went back to that pub because we had the fake IDs. He's like, oh, you should have called me. I would have met you there. And she's like, oh, you know, it's kind of last minute. And Isabel's like, yeah, and you couldn't even get in the door last time.
Well, it's like the show is saying to you, here's the thing you didn't know about everything so far. Megan's actually a really shitty girlfriend. And it's like, she's 17. Like,
I think we're supposed to get that, like, this is where his, like, discontent enters. Like, you know, an innocent mistake on Megan's part. But, like, Isabella is, like, really doing her best to, like, make it awkward. She's like, oh, yeah, that lead singer is totally, you know, obsessed with you. And he's, like, following you around and shit. And, like,
yeah.
He's all over you. And she's like, oh, well, not really. She's exaggerating. She's like, no, I'm totally not exaggerating.
But the lead
you should have seen it, yeah. Luke. He's following around like a puppy.
Yeah. Then he ate her ass. Yeah, you should have seen that, Luke. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's supported by, like, Megan's got to be like, all right, calm the fuck down. I mean, she's kind of like says that a little bit to Isabella.
Well, she's like, oh, maybe you had some beer goggles on or something. And Isabella's just like says nothing, takes a drink.
Yeah. This is where, like, Isabella would leave the room and this couple would have a fight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she essentially does and they just go back to watching TV, but it's like, I guess this is the first crack in the perfect relationship. Was like, oh, like, you know, I'm mad that you went and had fun without me. And Isabella's talking about you and some guy. And yeah, whatever. Nothing a conversation couldn't solve, but, you know.
Yeah. You know, we don't get it all in this episode is why is Isabella's money in that cabin.
Still to come.
So many more reveals.
Yeah.
So
we haven't totally learned yet what Jeff's secret is. I mean, I think we do, but
it's bootlegging, right? Oh,
obviously, but like we haven't had a scene of Megan finding that out. Like, yeah. Will we? Will it just never happen? Like, shouldn't we see that scene?
Isn't it like that's like her and Isabella know how he pays for his equipment? Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jeff, speaking of Jeff, is in this super dark and dingy looking police station because he has a parking ticket.
I mean, we've kind of subtly shifted to the blue tinting now.
Yeah.
Even like, I guess we're officially in winter territory, you know, even though this is all one long flashback from like September to December. Jeff is here. He's like, oh, I got a parking ticket. Is he really here because of the bootleg thing? I don't know. Does it matter? I don't know.
Yeah, so homecoming's coming up, and like Jeff's going to pass on that in this kind of like fatalistic way. And Luke's just like chilling with him. And he's like, oh, you should go. I mean, ask Amy.
She's a total hoe.
Thing for you for like months. You might as well have said she's a total hoe.
And he's Jeff's like, just, don't do that, man. Luke's like, what am I doing? He's like, you know what it is, man. And he's basically like, hey, man, you and Meg are together. It's fine. She chose you, but, you know, don't make it like you didn't have any part in it. Like, and Luke's just like, I thought that was ancient history. And he's just like, should come to me friend to friend, you know, like man to man, talked it out. I would have respected it, even if I didn't like it.
I mean, okay, so not to defend Luke, but
Jeff wouldn't know that. Student. I mean, yeah. I don't
know. Jeff wouldn't know that. But hasn't the show almost kind of shown us that Luke didn't have as much of a part in it?
No.
Like at the party, Luke seems oblivious to Megan.
Yeah.
As she is throwing herself at him so blatantly.
Yeah, Luke just goes carefree through life and people throw themselves at him. He didn't really have to do much for that.
But
then Jeff is like, you've changed, man. It's like, has he? Have we seen that ever? Like,
Which I get, Jeff's pissed off, so like none of his attacks are rational, but they contradict each other. So also that means that the, like the last few months, whenever they've had this Algonquin roundtable of douchebags, like Jeff's just shown up with the video camera and just like put these like passive aggressive snipey remarks at Luke, and like Luke has been so oblivious that he hasn't like filed away that Jeff just said, my ego's so big that like it blocks criticism, I mean, or whatever. The
you know, we could have in theory had a scene early in the summer where it's like, oh, look at Luke being super conscientious to Jeff about something, and then later on after he gets with Megan he kind of like shines him on or it kind of blows him off or something, to be like, oh, look, we're seeing that he has changed. But instead the character just says, you've changed, and it's like, according to what?
I mean, unless I'm supposed to read it as, you're not going over to Eric's to shoot hoops. You'd rather hang out the girls and read Cosmotive on like the most disgusting doc you've ever seen in your life.
And then the show speaking directly to the audience says, hey man, your brother might be an asshole, but at least he's honest about it. You're worse because you actually think you're this good guy. Everybody got that? It's the whole thesis of the show right there. This guy, he thinks he's a nice guy. He's actually not a nice guy.
There might be something to that, but the show is not.
No, I'm not saying that's not a real thing, but like the show has completely failed to like do a good job of telling that kind of story, because he's a nothing of a character. He's had no personality this entire time.
Yeah. Okay. So then we see the overhead shot of him in this like Christ pose here, like back
why
in the
Christ pose,
but like the way he starts working on the one wrist to free himself almost makes it more insulting that he's still tied up.
He's pretty sweaty now. He seems very out of it. I guess we're supposed to take it that he's like lost a lot of blood or something.
Yeah,
it's still night. I mean, maybe the drugs and the alcohol are kicking in more. We don't know how much later it is. Is this like 2 minutes after Megan left? Is this an hour? You know, like it kind of seems like some time has passed.
Yeah.
But he eventually gets his hand free here, basically. Or so not yet. He's working on it, and then we fade out.
Yeah. Then we're in December 99. As the three of them are hanging out in the cabin, and this is like their first ditch day, or Megan's first ditch day anyway. As well as like, oh, first of many, hopefully. I mean, at a certain point, I would think if what we've been seeing in this episode from Luke's point of view of how Isabel is, why would you keep inviting her along with Megan to the cabin?
I mean, I guess he kind of like,
has to?
It's something where it's like, well, she's just coming, and like you could have shown that, you know, like if this was like an important part of the show, you should spend more than like half of an episode on it. Like we needed to see more of this like fracturing of the relationship rather than like skipping over it the entire season of the show.
Oh yeah, it's like I invited Megan, and of course like Isabella just shows up everywhere of her. Yeah.
So we hear that there's tickets for no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. We should ditch again. She's like, Megan's like, yes, I'd kill to see them. Maybe they'll be touring when we're in Madrid. So they're just like talking about all these plans. He's like, Madrid? When are you going to Madrid? And Isabel's like, oh, next summer. And Megan's like, well, maybe it's not definite yet.
And so it's like, I'm sorry. Did somebody just watch like the first 20 minutes of Midsommar?
Yeah.
And they're like, I got a great idea for a scene.
And Isabel's like, oh, well, she applied to for a passport. It's very much like, it's more of him being like, oh, why didn't you tell me about this? Like he's feeling more left out, you know. And Isabel is like doing everything she can to like say, like every time Megan tries to be like, well, you know, if it happens, I don't know if it's gonna happen, and Isabel will be like, when it happens, she's definitely going without you. Well, jump.
There's some weird parallels between like Isabella and like Steve.
Yeah, sure.
She's, you know, like
she needs
if,
to travel
when,
and get out of her comfort zone. Staying in one place for too long is bad for the soul. And they just kind of stare at each other, and Megan's like, awkward.
Well, they're like, the fuck are you doing here, Isabella?
Well, she tries to take the like Irish hot chocolate away, and she's like, oh, I think you've had enough. And Isabella's like, no way, I'm just getting started. And it's like, well, wow, you're just being incredibly shitty to everyone. Cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait to do the plunge with you soon. Yeah, this go is ride real, and die and jump off a cliff.
I was gonna say this is some real ride and die behavior. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'll cut back to Steve working away on spreadsheets or whatever the fuck in his office. So
Steve,
Luke has shown
comes
up
into
say
the office, or Luke comes into the office. Yeah,
yeah, he's just like, I got into Branson, and it's like this guy just woke up.
He's just like, fuck yeah.
let's do some coke.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. He's like, but I also got into the Coast Guard Academy. And he's just like, oh, fuck this. Not this bullshit again.
Okay, here's the thing. For most people who don't know anything about the Coast Guard, it doesn't sound that cool. Well, like when he said military life earlier, I was like, is it the military?
Well, he's like, you know, like Luke says, oh, this is really important to me. I want to go. And he's like, oh, if you want to chart your own path, be my guest. But I'm not bankrolling it. That's it. It's like, excuse me, sir. Coast Guard Academy is free. In fact, they pay you.
Yeah.
It's a job. If you get in. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I really want to go. It's really important to me.
He's like, I'm sick of having this conversation, Luke. I'm sick of trying to fix you. That's bullshit. You don't care about me. You never cared about me. So they have this whole argument, like, Brent's your only real son. I'm just constant disappointment. You've resented me ever since that night of the accident, and you know it. And it's like, oh, is there going to be something revealed here? Not really. Nope. You wish I was the one that died that night, but it's your fault because, like, you should have been driving, not mom.
So does that mean did Luke just say to his dad that you should have died that night instead of mom?
I think he's just saying, like, you should have been driving. You were supposed to take me to get new cleats, but then you had some work thing that kept you busy, and she had to. And he says, I'm sick of keeping your secrets. What secret? I guess we'll find out in the next episode. We would have all been better off if you were the one that was driving that night. Yeah, that's what he says. And then it's like, I may have gone too far there. I'll leave now.
Yeah, what is Steve's secrets? Is he like secretly fucking Parker, or what's happening here?
Like having an affair? Like there's no interesting answer to the secret that the show's going to offer. So is it going to be like mom died because you were having an affair and therefore she had to drive me and we got in a car accident and it wouldn't have happened if you were there? Like would Luke keep that secret, first of all?
She couldn't see the road through the tears. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, why would you sit around for the Safeway cake and the tennis match and all that shit if you were like, oh, my dad's affair killed my mom?
Mm-hmm.
So then we get to the scene where this is Megan's porch where he's talking with her. I think this is a couple days later.
Yeah, he's just out there and she's like, oh, this is a surprise. What's wrong?
She's like, have you moved into my shitty house? Yeah, but it's like, so she's aware of the Coast Guard thing, even though it kind of seemed like, since it never came up in a single one of their conversations, that she would be.
Yeah, it suddenly she just knows about it. It seems like when they're talking about their plans for the future in an earlier scene, he's just talking about Branson the whole time. And so it's like, oh, he hasn't told her about the Coast Guard thing for some reason. I don't know why he wouldn't tell her. That seems it seems like the kind of thing you would want to tell her, to be like, hey, I'm not just some rich boy. You know, like, I want to be salt of the earth, you know.
Or you would specifically not have her know. So when he says earlier, you're my everything, you know me better than anyone. And it's like, because she keeps flaking on him and siding with Isabella and creating this divide, it's this rift. It's like she doesn't know this thing about him.
He didn't want to tell her because Isabella was there or something.
Yeah.
But it all comes to nothing. It's just like suddenly she just knows and we're like, okay. Sure.
Since the fight of my dad, we talk even less. And I barely thought that was possible. Yeah.
Like, what in this episode do we not already know already? Like, wow, your dad's a shithead. He wants you to go to this, like, fancy business school. You don't want to go there. Got it. You know, your mom died. Shit sucks ever since then. Your older brother sucks. You know, obviously, you and Megan and Isabella had some tension. We learned that there's, like, more now because Isabella's, like going out of her way to, like, kind of create a rift between them. But other than that, what are we learning really?
There was like a throwaway line in one of the episodes earlier this season in the December stuff where something about Luke and Isabella and they weren't fighting. And it's like, okay, but we've never seen them fight.
Mm-hmm. Because we've never seen that the period in time where they were dating, right? Yeah. We didn't see any of that until the first episode, they immediately had the sex tape issue and then it's a problem.
Yeah. Like, you would not think that there was anything in their discussion post plunge, that fucking plunge, where they had a months of animosity towards each other. But yeah, this is when he mentions, like, have you ever thought about, like, running away, starting fresh, no pressure, no expectations? And she's like, only all the time to UW. And he's like, sometimes it's all I think about. I actually have a deep interiority that no one would have guessed.
Mm. This is the scene where I pause it. I'm like, what are we doing here? This episode's almost over. There's like 10 minutes left. Like, what are we doing here? I don't understand what the point of all this is. We've learned nothing.
Then we get to one of the true villains of the fucking show. Mm-hmm. We're back at the pilot at the party in December, shaking hands with Principal Bowers. This woman is, what is her name?
Fucking Umbridge. Narc. That's what she is.
It's Dolores Umbridge for this show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, oh, I'm so glad to hear that you're going to be following Brent's footsteps to Branson. I'm really fucking involved in everyone's like collegiate career, well beyond my purview as a high school principal.
Well, Luke says it's the Chamber's way. And I guess that like pisses his dad off, because as soon as the conversation that we saw in the pilot or the, you know, the premiere ends, he like goes and chases after Luke. He's like, you fucking asshole. You know, what are you giving me lip about the Chamber's way? Like, you know, that's, I've had enough of this shit. Cut the crap.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of you talking about Branson like it's a damn life sentence. You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing yourself. I don't think anyone noticed. Like, the Chamber's Way thing just seemed like whatever, you know?
This is flying off the handle, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not seeing something here in this scene that says, I killed my son. Like, I think the more damning Steve Chambers scene is that moment with Isabella in the last episode.
I don't even remember which one. The whole like he's just having just fun. Yeah, they didn't mean anything. Yeah, but like this show isn't about that. You know, like if this show was about some sort of like assault or something that happened that got covered up, it would obviously make a lot more sense for Steve to be the way he is. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So anyway, he's like, yeah, it means more to me than your family does. And he kind of shoves him against the car. And he's like, listen to me. Branson, it's happening. End of story. Stop whining. Start appreciating it. Effective now. Not another word about this.
Luke marches into, I think this is his bedroom. Or Brent's bedroom.
There's a pendant. A poster of a girl. And a like bikini girl on the wall. So he just goes and grabs a tape. And it's like, this is like the explanation. It's as though they're trying to say like, hey, sure, he leaked a sex tape of his girlfriend, but like he had a good reason. He had to get back at his dad or something. You know, it's like the way it frames this is just like, oh, it's been so recontextualized. I see why he had to do this now. He had to ruin his reputation.
Well, because it's
an act of rebellion against his dad.
He's never had to hear his dad tell him before, stop being a petulant little shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he goes and gives it to a caterer and is just like, yeah, you. Put this in the VCR. This is my dad's favorite holiday tape. Do it.
Did no one later be like, who put the tape in? Or like the waiter or whoever just be like, hey, I don't know if you need to know this or not, but like that kid was the one who like, you know, said to put the tape in. Like, did they just be like, I don't know, I ain't saying shit. You know, I don't want to get in trouble.
This seems like a really easy mystery to solve.
Mm-hmm.
As Steve Chambers is like throwing this caterer in his trunk, driving him to like the city lines and like being like, say the fuck out of Jason. Say the fuck out of Malibu.
Yeah, it's the Christmas party. The tape is playing. Luke runs over to eject it. Like at first I was like, did he intentionally play the tape knowing he'd eject it to like before you saw who it was? But no, it all seems kind of shocked. In the moment. Yeah.
So here's what I think. I think what we're seeing here, it seems like he got the tape from Brent's room. So somehow the tape ended up in Brent's room. Maybe he thought he was just grabbing one of Brent's tapes and not his own.
Maybe.
I mean, would you need to show your own?
Shouldn't you communicate that in this episode?
For realsies.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, does your teenage rebellion have to require your own? Like sex tape?
Are we to assume that like he made the tape and then Brent somehow got his hands on it and he didn't realize it and he went to grab one of Brent's tapes, but it was actually his own tape? But it really seems like in that moment he's like wanting to be self-destructive, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's going to be the final twist. Is it like,
but I mean, I would argue that like if I was like, you're having a party and I'm like, you know what, Benjamin Light, I don't like your attitude. I'm going to show you up by playing my fucking sex tape at your party. There's an exhibitionist like bent to that as well. I hope your mom likes my dick, you know?
Because he did say in the last episode that he didn't play the tape. I mean, he's being cagey about it. I don't know. Maybe that's like the final reveal. It's going to be something to do with Brent.
He's like, whoa, Megan, under oath there. I said I did not play the tape, mm-hmm. which I did not. That caterer, though. But like, Brent seemingly is unaware of who's on the tape. So why is it apparently in Brent's room?
I don't know.
So yeah, then they're playing
cornhole.
They're cornholing each other out in the woods. Which, it's, when I look at this
Luke
Tim
and
guy,
the boys, yeah.
Look at this Tim guy. I absolutely believe he's cornholing. But they're like, this is like post sex tape reveal where the boys have to like weigh in on this issue.
You're a stealth stud, Chambers. You know, watching you on the big screen the other night.
Yeah. I mean, the more I see a Brent, and don't get me wrong, the bar was low. It was so low. He seems even sadder of a character that
he's
has to leave
a
college
jacket.
But he has to come back to like from college to this town to hang out with these fucking losers.
Yeah,
to, like,
no.
Get any kind of validation.
He's still wearing his Leatherman's jacket.
Yeah. But this is, I guess, somewhat of the evolution of him talking to these guys outside of the New Year's mm-hmm. Eve party about like, oh, I'm working these major moves. I'm actually a stud. I would still be like, hey, Jeff, during this potentially incriminating conversation,
could you put the camera down?
Can we put the camera down? We cool?
Yeah, they're asking him how long he's been seeing Isabella on the side and on her knees and on her back, but I'm chick. And then he's just like, come on, guys, let's talk about something else. And then somebody is just like, dude, I was expecting a sex tape with you and Megan, but Isabella, next level, baller move, man. You have to make a tape with Megan, too.
And Jeff has this look on his face like, huh, some detail here does not add up. And it's like, this is all dumb. Don't even bother having the actor like start to see through the cloud of the fog of war here.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, also, oh, you know, give me time and I'll pull that other sex tape off.
Why would Luke be like, can we talk about anything else, guys? It's like, what the fuck else do you think these horn dogs are going to talk about?
Well, then Jeff is like, the tape is all smoke and mirrors. Like, Jeff, you already kind of know what it is, though, right? Like, have you not figured it out yet? I don't know. He says, jealous is not a good look on you, Pope, he says to the camera. I mean, don't hate the player, hate the game. Ladies love cool
ever,
Luke, am I right?
Hello, Cool L.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been a person who said,
don't hate the player, hate the game?
Yeah. And like, they were in the right. They were on the right side of history.
It's like, I the character is just such a dud. It's like, oh, he's, you know, talking a big game because of peer pressure, I guess, is what we're supposed to get out of this in the last few episodes.
We sure. get this almost like creepy Sam Raimi-esque push-in on the door of the cabin at one point.
Yeah, Luke and Megan are making out inside. He wants to go upstairs. This is post-tape, obviously.
Or to the bed.
Or is it to the, right? Sure, yeah. He wants to go have sex, and she's just like, no, I can't do it. And he's like, we've done it 1,000 times. She's like, no, it feels different now. Like, how could we not know we were being filmed? Shouldn't there have been some spidey sense that tingles or warning bell? And he's like, yeah, well, you know, it's camera, not a predator. Looks it straight at the camera. Yeah.
Yes.
Is there really a difference? I mean, one of them's an inanimate object and the other was, you know, malicious
one of them,
intent. But...
Yeah, one of them was briefly Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, that's never going to happen again.
It's a one-time thing. Like, is he just like, I got what I wanted. I'm good again.
But obviously he can't admit that. And because he knows more and he's a guy, he can't begin to understand like the vulnerability and hurt that she carries around. He's not trying to understand that. He's like, just don't let it ruin everything. And she's like, I'm trying not to because I'm surrounded by misogynists, but.
So he's telling her he loves her and don't worry, like it's all ancient history soon.
We're in this together.
Like it never happened. So it's, I mean, if it needs to be said, he's clearly a massive piece of shit. I don't know why they're trying to make it seem like he had his reasons or whatever, or that maybe it was still kind of an accident or something, but he's clearly behaving like, oh, I can just move past this. Oh, you know, that was a one-time thing. We're good again. I've made my point or whatever. It's like, well, I kind of got back at my girlfriend because she's having too much fun with Isabella without me or something.
Yeah, gross. Also, it's like, as a way of forgiving himself and forgiving her, he started saying, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find that hard to believe. I mean, I it's gross. The reasoning I think is gross. But like, I feel like the first time this kid nuts, he's telling everyone he loves them.
And it just, I can't take this character. Like, either he is like a little weasel who's not getting any and is talking big about it, or if he is having sex with multiple women on the show, like, why is he so eager and to please like these douchebag bros, you know? Like, why is he so susceptible to their peer pressure?
This video game's not real, right?
Doesn't look like it. Yeah, we're watching this dumb like shoot 'em up video game he's playing, like a side scroller.
It's like half anime, like a South Park episode.
Mm-hmm. Dad's here. He's playing at home. They're gonna have a little talk. You know, like, oh, where's Megan? She said I'd see her at the plunge. Things are different since the sex tape. And the dad's like, well, son, let me pull up a chair and give you the good old father son talk about how sometimes you just need to broom him, move on with your life. There's plenty of fish in the sea.
Like, it's fucking Willem Dafoe and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, son, I'm going to pull the trigger and I'm going to spend all that money and have the living room reversed.
He's like, Dad, that's ridiculous. Don't talk to me like that. I'm a businessman.
Business. Pour me a scotch.
You know, Megan has that scholarship and everything that comes along with it. In case you don't know what I mean other dudes' penises. So, you know, maybe it's time to move on.
Or it's like, I feel like there's also the implication that it's like, she's going to go off and do things, which means that she's not like a woman you can control anymore.
Sure,
for a moment, I thought he was going to say like, yeah, I can understand why she'd be pretty pissed off at you because of the sex tape and the other girl. But no, that's not where he's going with that.
There's plenty of fish in the sea. And if you'll allow me to continue this aquatic metaphor, maybe it's time to cut bait and see what else is out there.
Anyway,
good talk.
So you killed your mom. Bye.
So,
he pats him on the head.
Yeah, pats him back to the cabin. Luke has finally gotten his arm free. He's looking pretty kind of sickly and fucked up, or maybe that's just the actor. And he's putting on his shoes. He's still shirtless.
Wouldn't it be funnier if Isabella had snuck back in and just like injected him with heroin?
Yeah,
for a laugh.
So he puts on his clothes. He manages to get his coat on, and he just kind of like woozy, like stumbling around, grabs a flashlight and goes outside. And so he's just kind of like stumbling around outside. This whole scene, Quince, it would have made more sense if he's like so out of it that he's like calling for Megan the whole time or something.
Yeah.
Because instead you're like, why are you going outside? Like, what are you doing? You know, where are you trying to get to? Like, why didn't you just stay inside where it's warm?
He's got the flashlight. So he clearly is intending to go outside on a journey. Looking like train spotting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's stumbling around or wondering if he's going to run into the weird, creepy guy.
Is
Ned,
it
the
Jeff?
Whole time.
Is that who you're thinking he's going to call?
I'll get there in a second. So I feel like this scene is the show. Like, and they have like just an absolute abomination of a Linkin Park cover playing. It's that I think it's The End is the name of the song, but it's like the slowed down, like haunting version.
Yeah, in the end, but which, sorry to be that guy, folks. The original song came out 10 months after this period of time.
He's hearing people, you know, flashbacks of his dad saying, I'm sick of trying to fix you. And, you know, I think like stuff that Jeff's saying, you're actually not a bad guy. You're worse than your brother. See, yeah, you actually think you're a good guy and you know all this stuff. At first, I was like, oh, he's going to run in Ned. And then it's like, it kind of is portraying this as like, is he just going to kill himself here? Because
it really looks like that.
And they've got all the voiceovers of people saying bad things about him and him looking up at the sky, hopeless. And it's like, with this song playing and the way they're shooting it, like this epic moment, I was like, this would be really fucking tacky if he kills himself right now. You know, to play it up like it's this big climactic event or something. But instead, he eventually stumbles to the dock or whatever, like near the lake, and instead of jumping in, he just kind of lies down at the edge and he gets his pager out and he pages someone.
He pages them like it's a cell phone text message thing.
Pages them 752.
Could you actually do numbers like that on your pager?
There are some that you could. I don't know how he's doing it because there are three buttons on that pager.
Yeah, but it's a three button thing. That is primarily a receiving device and not a broadcasting device.
I mean, cell phones did exist in 99. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, he pages somebody. He looks a little more together now. Like for a bit, it looked like he was just going to like fall in the lake and drown. Like he was so out of it, but he looks a little more collected.
I kept thinking, like, you're not going to end up that far out.
Yeah. Like, they would find you, like, immediately. Yeah. And then we cut to Megan that night. She's lying awake in bed and tossing and turning as this stupid Linkin Park cover plays over and over. And then we see Isabella's doing the same thing.
I feel like 100% it's not Megan.
Probably not. Anyway, footsteps approach. He looks over. Somebody's there. We can't see at all who it is. It's just like, you know, like a silhouette in the foreground of like just like their pants or something. So
it's after midnight, Kaiser. Yeah. Or is it Melissa Hastings?
The other thing I was going to say is like maybe it's Jeff. Maybe the reason Jeff has been on the show this whole time is to be the big twist. But why exactly? Like nothing they've shown from Jeff suggests that he'd be that kind of guy, that he would just like murder someone. But like they did go out of their way to put him in this episode. So I don't know. Jeff, like I'm trying to think, who would he actually text? He wouldn't text Isabella unless they're going to be like he was drunk and he didn't mean to or something. But he didn't seem surprised by who showed up. He's like, oh, I didn't think you'd come. So, you know, would he text like Megan at this point? He wouldn't text Isabella. He might text Brent. He might text his dad. He might text the sheriff. He might text Jeff. Those are the four. I mean, if it's like fucking like Eric or Tim, just like I'm throwing my computer out the window.
Amy.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's Parker.
If he texts his dad, I don't think that gets us to I didn't think you'd come. Because the dad's going to clean up his fucking son's like shithead mistakes. Maybe Brent.
I would buy it. I don't think it'd be a cheat for the dad to show up with that line, I guess.
I mean, you know, I'm all in on the dad.
Yeah.
Showing up and like drowning this kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brent shows up and drowns him. It's
like, I got to take care of the family or something.
I'd like Steve, Brent, or Jeff. Isabella is an option. If it's Megan, that seems so.
Why would he text Megan or Isabella at this point?
But like, why would Megan be like, I don't ever want to see you again. Mm-hmm.
And then just come back. Off,
yeah. And then just say, I come back. Oh, because yeah. I couldn't sleep. I came back.
No, neither Isabella or Megan makes sense. So I do think like it's poor construction if one of them shows up.
Maybe it's Principal Bowers.
The sheriff showing up would make sense from a who he would text perspective. But like, why would the sheriff kill him? You know?
I mean, unless it's the person showing up or didn't kill him. But yeah. Presumably this is like.
This is, we're finally going to get to his fucking death. Yeah. Unless they help him like fake his death or something. Like if they do a thing because we never saw the body or it's like he was actually alive the whole time and he faked his death, I'm just gonna like vomit. Like if the sheriff helped him do that, like I'll make a dummy for you.
I just don't think the sheriff would waste his own time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
he's
yeah,
like hunting down the real killer when he knows the kid's not dead the whole time. Yeah.
Which I feel like everything that could be why everything has been so fuckingly poorly shared and conceived with what we should have gotten from the investigation, but I don't fucking know.
Anyways, that's the end of the episode. The miseducation of Luke Chambers. Yeah, he was so miseducated. Okay. Bad writing, bad show.
This show is just fucking trash.
This was their big episode. That's what they came up with.
Swing and a miss.
We learned that the reason he made the tape was, well, he got dared to. And then the reason he played the tape was, well, he wanted to act out against his dad. And maybe he didn't even actually mean to play it. He meant to play a different tape.
Yeah. I have to wonder, is this the kind of show that even... Is there even an announcement when it gets canceled? Or do you just never hear from
everybody
it again?
Everybody assumes it, yeah.
Which I gotta feel like they did well enough with the like Sinner as an anthology show that they thought they could do this here.
Yeah, but they did not.
Meanwhile, folks, just go to Kira Aurelio's like daily Instagram stories and just tell me you wouldn't follow a show about whatever Jeanette Turner's up to.
Just Jeanette in college, man.
Yeah. Even if you don't have
what if Kate, it's Jeanette who shows up like from just out of nowhere?
What if it's Mallory?
Oh, God.
You better dust off that impression.
Well, 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 if it isn't Luke Chambers, I heard you had a situation you needed to handle.
I would like to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. He's like, actually, just dunk me in the drink.
I need you to join my nepotism initiative.
He's like, I'd rather just die.
He just rolls over. All right. Well, anyways, thanks for listening, everyone, and joining us on this journey.
Hope it's been fun.
April Summer Season 2. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can rate and review us in the podcast app or your podcast player of choice. If you'd like to support us even more, you should go buy our book. Go to mynameistrouble.com. We have 3 books in the Trouble Girl Detective Mystery Series. They're lots of fun. They're much better than this show. If you like mysteries that pay attention to detail and just kind of fun teen hijinks, check them out. mynameistrouble.com. You can get ebooks, you can get hardcovers, you can get paperbacks. It's all there. Mm-hmm. Next week, what is the name of the episode?
Endgame.
Endgame. We're really being original here on this show. Endgame. If he's still alive, I'm just going to be so annoyed because they haven't done the work to properly earn that.
Like, do you think it's like Megan gets arrested and it's like he shows up in a courthouse at the last minute or something?
Well, the good news is Parker's in the next episode, so maybe it's her. Maybe she's a surprise, you know?
She's like, hey, Luke, I don't think we've shared a single sentence amongst each other. Entire 9 episodes of this show, but yeah, I answered your fucking page.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Whatever. All right, folks. We're almost done. Later.